We greet you now from the Hotel Waldorf Astoria in New York City. This is Ben Grauer speaking from the 51st Annual Congress of American Industry of the National Association of Manufacturers. The NAM has chosen as its slogan for this annual conclave the phrase, "Now let's build America," as this three-day meeting of national figures in business and industry gets underway. Well, every American today is concerned with the problem of shortages in consumer goods caused by the war. Here in the second year of reconversion, basic living items are still hard or even impossible to get. Cars, refrigerators, washing machines, other major home appliances. What better place to find out the prospect in the new year for relief for us consumers than here at the NAM convention? And so NBC has invited five leaders of American industry in various fields to give us authoritative opinions about the outlook for these short items. Here gathered around our table are Harvey S. Firestone, Jr., president of the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, Harry A. Bullis, president of General Mills Incorporated, recently in the small electrical appliances field, Howard E. Blood, the president of the Nord Division of BorgWarner Corporation, Ward Kennedy, chairman of the finance committee of Willys Overland Motors, and Harold J. Walter, the general manager of Uxbridge Worsted Company of Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Well, gentlemen, we'll start right off with Mr. Firestone. It seems everyone, every American citizen, wants to get a new car, Mr. Firestone. A set of new tires. What's the tire situation?
Mr. Grauer, I'm sure that car owners who've been trying to buy new tires may find it hard to believe, but it's nevertheless a fact that the rubber industry manufactured more tires in 1946 than ever before in its history. This record-breaking performance was made in spite of serious shortages of raw materials and skilled labor, and equally serious production problems. However, the rigid rationing of tires during the war years resulted in such an enormous backlog of pent-up demand that even with the rubber industry running at full capacity, there are still not enough tires to supply everyone.
Well, when do you think, Mr. Firestone, that the supply will catch up with that backlog?
Just when the supply will catch up with the accumulated demand depends on many factors over which the rubber industry have no control. One of these is the number of tires which will be needed for new cars. Another is the number of tires which will wear out during the winter and next spring. Still others are the availability of essential raw materials and the continuity of production. However, unless unforeseen circumstances occur, it is reasonable to expect that by next spring, car owners should be able to get the tires they want when they want them. In the meantime, with bad driving weather ahead, car owners need not take any chances on dangerously worn tires. There are adequate supplies of materials and equipment for recapping and repairing their present tires, provided they are still in serviceable condition. I would like to remind every motorist that if he takes good care of his tires, they will take good care of him.
Well, Mr. Firestone, we remember that advice and look forward hopefully to next spring and the new tires. And now, here is Harry A. Bullis, the president of General Mills Incorporated, whose firm has recently entered the small electrical appliances field. Mr. Bullis, how did your great food manufacturing company get into electrical appliances?
Well, Mr. Grauer, during the war, General Mills operated the Mabel Orton's war plant at Minneapolis, where we produced large numbers of fire control instruments for the Navy and precision instruments for the Army. And we're now using this war plant to enter the home appliance field with a line of table appliances. The first of these home appliances is the General Mills True Heat Automatic Electric Iron. This iron is being followed by a pressure sauce pan, a coffee maker, a food mixer, and other items. And each of these new products will be sponsored by Betty Crocker, our household authority.
Do you have material shortages in the making of these appliances?
Yes, we do have some shortages. We have shortages of steel and plastics for our table appliances. We are not up to our schedule, being faced with the same problems that face other producers. But production of irons has hit 2,500 a day, and unless steel goes off the market, which would close the whole industry in 90 days, we will soon be making 3,000 electric irons a day, and each week this figure will become larger. We're scheduled to make 5,000 pressure cookers this month, 15,000 in January and 40,000 in February. Unless the Bakelite strike in New York is settled, we, along with all other companies making table appliances, will be working from hand to mouth. We ourselves have only a 30-day supply of handles.
And there's a big backlog of demand for these appliances, though.
Oh, yes, there's a great backlog of demand. The American housewife demands table appliances. You know, Mr. Grauer, the trend of the population has been away from the country to the city recently, and more women are working. And they have more income. And they want appliances which will get their work done quickly. City apartments are smaller than country houses. City kitchens are smaller than country kitchens. And women are spending less time in the kitchens. And they're looking for appliances and other things which will get their work done quickly.
Well, now, when can an American housewife walk into a store and say, give me a pressure cooker or an iron and expect to get one?
Well, I should say, Mr. Grauer, that within a year she can get all the electric irons she wants. It may take a little bit longer for the pressure cookers and the food mixers, but I would say within 18 months or a couple of years, the American housewife can get all of the table appliances that she wants.
Well, swell. Thank you very much, Mr. Bullis. The electric refrigerator is a key appliance in the American home. Well, now, here is Howard E. Blood, the president of the Nord's division of BorgWarner Corporation. And Mr. Blood, why the shortage? Well, there is one, they tell me.
In a few words, I think that the shortage is due to the fact that we have been living under labor monopolies, the leaders of which have been abusing their power, and we've had an OPA. Now, the principal shortages in the major appliance industries are steel and copper. We've had the steel strike, the coal strike, the copper strike, many strikes in the sources who make items for appliances. And the shortage has been further aggravated by OPA. For example, it's not been profitable for anybody to manufacture electric motors for washing machines at the prices that they had to sell under OPA. Well, that source of trouble has been practically eliminated, but we still have the other source. Now, the plants are ready to go, Mr. Bauer. The managers of these plants are glorified purchasing agents. They're chasing around trying to get material with which to build these appliances.
Well, then there's a similarity of demand and desire on your side and the consumers. When will the consumer get relief and get that new electric refrigerator, do you think?
The situation has been improving recently, but of course, at the present time, there are so many new uncertainties being introduced that I don't know. Under normal conditions, I would think that along toward the first part of 1948, the supply would begin to approximately meet the demand.
There's a lot of consumer interest in related appliances, such as those connected with frozen food. How's that situation?
Well, frozen food appliances fall in two classes. That is, there's the larger frozen food cabinet in which a family can store considerable quantities of frozen food. That sells at a relatively high price. Then there is the new type of refrigerator, which will soon be available in larger quantities, where there is a larger frozen food storage space in connection with the refrigerator. I think, in general, a public demand for frozen food cabinets will be supplied much earlier than that for the new type of refrigerator.
Uh-huh. Let's go from freeze to heat. Every American home wants a new gas or electric range. How does that go?
The gas range production has been limited to date by a shortage of sheet steel, and the electric range further by the shortage of copper. However, the production of both of those lines has been increasing, and will steadily increase unless conditions continue to be disturbed as they are at the present time.
Well, then, to sum up, Mr. Blood, you'd say it'll be a good year before there'll be a good free supply of refrigerators.
I think beyond question that's true.
All right, we'll shiver and wait. Thank you again, Mr. Howard E. Blood. Automobiles. If there's anything basic to the American and now the world economy, as an example of a high standard of living, that's the automobile. And we have before our microphone now Ward Kennedy, the chairman of the Finance Committee of Willys Overland Motors. You say Willys Overland, you think of the Jeep. Mr. Kennedy is a leader in his industry. I'm going to ask him, there is a world demand for auto transportation, isn't there, sir?
Mr. Grauer, the whole world needs and wants automobile transportation. Due to 4 years of war stoppages of production and due to the development of new roads and new markets all over the world, there's just an unlimited apparent demand. But the increased costs, which are growing daily due to strikes, material shortages, unbalanced inventories, and so forth, all are raising the price of cars, raising the amount that people will have to pay for them, so that that tends to cut down the buying power for this market. Now, on the other hand, people's incomes are being very greatly curtailed, several $1 billion this year, as a result of strikes and work stoppages. Mm-hmm. And the result is that it's very difficult to tell what this market really will be, what this demand will be, until we get some stabilized production.
Well, without estimating what the world or national demand for cars is, how many units of new cars can the auto industry turn out in a good year if things are running right?
Well, I think undoubtedly the capacity of the automobile industry today would be 6 to 7 million cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be some little time before that amount can be achieved because of the uncertainties of production and the tie-in of all the different plants. In other words, the shortage of production in one plant may shut down work in many other plants, and the longer that goes on, the longer it takes to get the whole program integrated and a real production program going.
When we're talking about new cars, do you mean, sir, a completely new design car or just a bright, shining piece of four-wheel transportation?
Well, if you mean the complete new design cars, the dream cars that we've seen in the papers for some time, I think it'll be quite a long while before you'll see those. And as a matter of fact, some of those fantastic ideas probably never will be developed because the public demand is a gradual acceptance of new design rather than a complete change to something bizarre and entirely different.
A little personal note, Mr. Kennedy. How's the Jeep getting along in civilian production?
Well, the Jeep seems to be growing constantly in its uses and in its rather remarkable versatility. We hope to produce 75 to 100,000 Jeeps in this coming year, and our new all-steel Jeep station wagon, we hope to produce 50 to 75,000 of those if the general work stoppage condition and material shortages resulting from labor difficulties permit.
Sure. Well, thanks very much. Sounds like heaps of Jeeps. Thanks, Mr. Kennedy, for lending your authoritative voice to our roundtable. One more guest, Mr. Harold J. Walter, the general manager of Uxbridge Worsted Company, Uxbridge, Massachusetts. That means woolens and worsted. That means clothing. Mr. Walter, I walked into a store and tried to buy a suit a couple of days ago, and I think a million Americans have had the same experience. No got. What's the story?
Well, Mr. Grauer, while clothes have not reached the retail shelves in sufficient quantity to take care of the pent-up demand, generally speaking, within a very few months, there will be no shortage of woolens and worsted.
Hey, that's good news. Would you say that the industry is tooled up isn't the word, but is producing in... How does it compare with 1939, the last normal year?
The production of our industry today is 100% greater than it was in the year 1939.
Have you a big backlog of consumer demand to replace?
Of course, our industry was the first to take care of the boys when they went into the service as far as their clothing was concerned, and of course had to follow them through the battles and through the war. Naturally, the civilian pent-up demand was great, but within the last year, our industry has done an abnormal job in taking care of that demand.
How has the price decontrol affected the basic prices in your industry?
Mr. Grauer, that's very interesting because there's been no price increase whatsoever within our industry since the lifting of OPA controls. Actually, it's permitted industry to go back and make those articles which under OPA they could not make because of the profit motive.
Well, then, roughly you'd say that a new suit will be pretty easy to get around the summertime this year.
Once again, generally speaking, there may be a shortage of the gabardine fabric or perhaps the tropical fabric.
But otherwise?
You'll get your clothes.
Okay, fine. Just me. Thanks very much, Mr. Waller, and thank you, gentlemen. Radio friends, we've been conducting a little informal roundtable on the American consumer's prospects for getting that new refrigerator, washing machine, a set of tires, a car in the year ahead. In opinions voiced by five leaders of American industry, also members of the board of directors of the NAM, Harvey S. Firestone, Jr., Harry A. Bullis, Howard E. Blood, Ward Kennedy, and Harold J. Walter. Our broadcast came from the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City on the opening day of the 51st Annual Congress of American Industry of the National Association of Manufacturers. Ben Grauer speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.